Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24. I would like us today to read from the verse number 40 to the verse number 49. These are some of the last words of the Lord as after the resurrection he's teaching his disciples and preparing them for the mission that is just ahead of them. And this is not the beginning of the chapter, of course, so we are starting from somewhere in between. Verse number 40. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. This is the short passage I wanted us to read and to meditate upon this morning. Now we could take a moment for prayer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Thou art our Creator and our Savior. We are Thine, and all that we have and all that we think we have, all is Thine. Thou art the owner of this universe. Heaven and earth is Thy property, and we pray, O Heavenly Father, not only as Thy property, but also as Thy lawful possession that Thou hast repossessed by Thy grace, Lord. Take our hearts. Take our minds, O Lord, our souls and our body. For we are Thine by creation, and we are Thine by the redemption in Christ. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, give us grace and power not to deprive Thee of anything that is Thine. But Lord, give us grace and power to embrace that ministry, that duty that Thou hast given us, that we may improve, that we may grow, that we may, O Heavenly Father, receive Thy gifts and Thy provisions, Thy blessings, with deepest gratitude, and that we may boldly approach the throne of mercy in the name of Christ and with the highest reverence and respect to the glory and majesty of Thy holy name, O Lord. Angels are covering their faces in Thy presence, O God. And we pray, cover us all over with the purity and holiness and righteousness of the Lamb of God, that we may be acceptable in Thy sight, and that we may know that Thou hast accepted us in Christ Jesus, thy beloved Son, thine only begotten One, the only One in whom thou art perfectly pleased. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we of ourselves have not retained the blessedness and the righteousness that Thou hast given us in the Garden of Eden. But He, Christ our Savior, kept Thy will with a perfect heart and mind, even when He experienced Thy judgment and Thy wrath on our behalf. So we pray, O Lord, cover us with Christ, His merit, and adorn our souls not only in innocency, but in purity, holiness, righteousness. Fill our hearts, O Lord, with the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of faithful service, meek and humble spirit. That spirit that is not losing the brightness of thy glory in the most difficult adversities, experiencing rejection, betrayal, pain and grief. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, in our troubles we seem to be unable to see the brightness of thy face in Christ. And in our time of ease, we easily forget thy presence. O gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray that thou forgive us. Forgive us all of that is the reason of thy rebuke to thy disciples, those that had difficulty believing in thy resurrection, foretold so many times and in so many ways since the beginning. And freshly foretold by thy own lips to thy disciples, O Lord. And yet they couldn't see it. Oh, give us grace and power, Lord, that we may see the deficiencies of our sight. Reveal thyself to us in the beauty of thy holiness. Open our heart and mind that we may receive that revelation. Oh, gracious Lord, Almighty God, let not our souls suffer in the weakness of our flesh, but thou lift us up from the dust and ashes of our doubts and fears, O Lord, into the realm of true faith in thy resurrection, that we may count our blessings and see that goodness and mercy of thine that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, give us grace and power to worship thee in spirit, in truth, in words, in deeds, in manners, in desires, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with gratitude and praise to thy holy name. Give us grace and power, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, to look into this revelation. The path of thy salvation. Christ our Redeemer, coming from the heavenly glory in such a humble way to start his journey by multiplying invisible cells of a human embryo. New creation beyond explanation, and yet invisible to human eyes, but foretold by thy Spirit, all seeing and all knowing, and seeing the end before the beginning. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, give us grace and power to see that glory and that majesty, the started a new journey on this earth in such a humble way. And facing the fury of the enemy, envy, bitterness, rejection, hatred, craftiness, corruption, fury of the forces of evil, the powers of darkness, united in that one desire, O God. Let us kill him, that the inheritance be ours. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, give us that grace and power to see and to behold, and to bend our knees and bow our hearts and our heads, and to worship with the wise men from the east, the child in Bethlehem that night. Give us grace and power, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, to see and to hear the strong and still calm voice of the prophet of Nazareth, that Jesus of Nazareth that they hated, sounding forth in the temple, sounding on the hills and in the valleys, in the cities and villages, healing the sick, raising the dead, comforting the sad, encouraging and strengthening the weak. Calling unto repentance and conversion to the true Almighty God of Israel. Inviting the lost to the new birth, to find shelter, comfort, peace and joy under the wings of that Heavenly Fatherhood. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thou give us that grace and that power, that understanding and openness of heart and mind, that we may see and hear the martyr scourged by the Roman soldiers, bleeding under the thorny crown. That we may see the picture of him, that appearance that did not initiate any compassion in the cruel hearts of the slaves of darkness and give us also from that undying flame of faithfulness and zeal for thy will, that we may also follow the voice of him who came to this world to witness to the truth. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that we may hear his voice on the way from Jerusalem to Golgotha. Weep not for me, but for your children and yourselves. That we may hear his words and understand the meaning. As the blood is pouring down, and the voice of our great high priest and our perfect offering, that voice of the Savior ascending up toward the throne of mercy and judgment. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may hear and understand that voice and the words. That proclaimed thy judgment upon the pure for the sake of the filthy. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that our hearts be in the book of life, our souls in the book of life, that we may not be among those that will cry the same or similar words throughout eternity in the hellfire. As we embrace Christ, our sufferer, our victor, our redeemer, our succor, our helper, that we may also forsake the world and its vain show. Give us grace and power that we embrace thy truth wholeheartedly, that we may, without struggles and temptations, reject all the deception of Satan and the world. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thou give us again that awareness of the glory and majesty of thy holy name, manifesting itself in such a humble way as the angel rolled away the stone, and no one hath seen the mysterious, wonderful, glorious, and yet so humble way and manner of the Creator of life taking back his body that he has chosen to limit his glory and majesty to the level that our eyes may see him and our hands touch him. That at the appointed time, our hearts may be broken and empty. And created anew and filled with thy presence, with thy resurrection. O God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou grant us that resurrection of thine, that we may live in Christ Jesus and walk in His steps and do Thy will wholeheartedly, rejoicing even in suffering in adversities, and being grateful that Thou hast given us at least something, at least a part of that resemblance with Christ Jesus. O, make us Thou Christ-like, Lord, we pray. Lead us and teach us. Watch over us and make us watchful. Protect us and make us calm, peaceful, and joyful in Thy goodness and mercy that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. O, bless Thy words today, for that is Thy good pleasure. Fill our hearts, enlighten our minds, for we do belong to Thee, O Lord. For there is no other God, no other Savior. O blessed Lord, bless Thy holy word. Proclaim Thy message far and wide and everywhere. Will there be two or three, or if there be one alone. Bless the hearts that Thou hast purified, and reach the hearts that Thou art seeking, and deliver the souls that Thou hast redeemed, that Thy children may be united in heaven and in earth, glorifying Thy glorious and majestic name. For Thou art the Creator, Thou art the Savior, and Thy Spirit sustaineth Thine own to the end. Amen. I try to understand these words, and I can see that there is only one way to make them understandable to us, and that is the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the mercy and goodness of our Heavenly Father, to make us understand His Scripture. It's an amazing thing, and yet it's a natural thing, that the human mind cannot understand the Word of God. The Word of God was very simple to the first people because they had no sin. But today we dare not forget the words that we read in the first epistle of John. If we say that we have no sin, we lie. So, the grace and the goodness of our Heavenly Father and the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our only hope, our only opportunity to understand the words of the Lord. He is teaching. That's my impression, that He is teaching not only in words, which in some of our books are printed in red color, but He is teaching in His deeds and manners in those other words that are black. In the verse number 40 I just read, when He had thus spoken, He gave them the word. He gave them also the signs. He showed them His hands and His feet. Hands are the parts of human body that we use to touch, and feet are moving in the direction of the heart and mind. And how do we know that the Lord Jesus Christ has shown to us His hands and His feet after the resurrection? By using our hands to touch this word of His, to practice this gospel that He preached. and to walk in the ways of righteousness. This morning I again spent some time with the book of Job, and that reminded me of the words of one of the believers present when we visited earlier this year in Wisconsin. And I don't remember how we came to that question, but that pilgrim challenged us with the question, where in the scripture we see a very good example of true repentance? And I stopped for a moment, and with the rest of us gathered there, couldn't recall right away, where is it? Immediately I thought of the story that the Lord Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees. Two men entered into the temple or a synagogue, into the place where the people get to pray. I thought about the publican smiting his chest. And then I thought, maybe not. So many people have emotional repentance, and then they trust in the mercy of the Lord, but then their deeds show that they don't trust anything, and they really did not repent of anything. It was just an emotion, but not real change, lasting change. I thought of Zacchaeus. He said, Lord, I give everything. I thought, wow, that's true repentance. We don't see that much these days, hardly ever. And then the same man that asked the question gave his own answer, because the rest of us were quiet. And he said in the book of Job, the Lord said, Job is a righteous man. And that righteous man the Lord rebuked. And then the Lord witnessed to the others that none of them spake of God so well as Job did, so right and so correct. And then after that, or before that actually, Job said, I repent in dust and ashes. I abhor myself. And I listen to the word of God. Speak thou, and I will hear. And I think that is a great example of sincere, godly repentance. When a righteous man see that he is not. And when a sinner, a wicked man, see himself as righteous, it's an abomination in the sight of God. And the Lord said to the friends, at least apparently they presented themselves as friends and then later on proved not to be, to the visitors of Job, that they should offer a sacrifice and that Job should pray for them, and the Lord will accept him on behalf of his friends, his visitors, his judges, his vain comforters. Thankfully, at length, they quit acting out what was in their hearts. Here the Lord is teaching, and while they could not believe for joy, see what led to that joy? Seeing the hands and the feet of the Lord. That was one link in the path of their restoration. To believe in Christ the Savior, not as a deliverer of political and military dimensions, but the only Savior of the mankind. One link was seeing his hands and his feet, and that helps us to give our hands and our feet to his will. And as they did that in their hearts, they opened the door of their heart to the joy of his resurrection. And so, while they yet believed not, he gave them an opportunity as they wondered, could it be? How can it be? It's after suffering all that he suffered, he would return to them and reveal to them the glory of his resurrection in such a simple way, showing his hands and his feet. Now he is giving them opportunity to use their hands and their feet to minister, to serve him. He asked them, "Have you here any meat, any food?" And they brought to him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. I never ate that together without anything else. I don't know if there are in any country, among any people, that kind of customs to eat broiled fish with honey. Maybe. I'm not aware of any. But I think this might indicate that this was not the time of a meal and they were not prepared to offer a meal to a visitor. And if that was the case, I would draw a lesson from that. That even when we are not prepared, even when we did not plan, if we have something, if we are willing to offer to the Lord what we have at hand, he will accept it and he will use it. And giving to the Lord what we have at hand is much better than any excuses without service. He took it and he ate before them. I think that there might be another teaching or message, another lesson in this experience. When the Lord wanted to help his disciples enter into the joy of his resurrection, he asked them to give him something of theirs, to bring something, to feed him. And he ate. Now, concerning these verses, we can probably find different diverse opinions and comments and beliefs, but the Lord, after the resurrection, was in his glorified body. I don't know. And I'm not exactly ashamed of confessing that. I don't know. Not only that I don't know, I have serious questions concerning the opinions of those that believe they do know. I think that there is so much beyond the limits of our understanding the explanations, if I may call them explanations, all that is written in the epistles about the resurrection is given to us not exactly to know the process of, may I say, spiritual chemistry, how the Lord is going to glorify the resurrected bodies, or how we are going to be resurrected into a glorified body, or whatever is going to happen. I think it's going to be glorious and wonderful, but we just don't know how He is going to do that. But He does, and He will do it according to His knowledge and His might. Some people think that in a resurrected body, if we want to eat, we can, but we really don't need to. I have no idea. And that is not my concern. I don't think the Lord wants me to think about that and discover how is that going to work. He wants me to believe that He will do what He promised, and what He does for His own is going to be wonderful. After He received their service to Him, after He ate that, to me, unusual meal, He said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." When He said, "These are the words," we don't find after that what were the words. In the verse 46 also, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we are witnesses of these things." These are the words, but the preceding, verse 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophetic books, in the Psalms," all of the scripture that they had given to them until that time. The whole scripture is pointing to the point of time when the Lord Jesus Christ will be crucified and resurrected. And all the scriptures that have been written since that time of His resurrection point back to that glorious moment in the history of the mankind, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His redemption, His intercession for us, and He is walking with us to the end of our pilgrimage. After He said these words, I would think that there was a lengthy speech, a sermon, bringing to them, opening to them the scripture, revealing to them, as He did to the two disciples in Emmaus. And then in the verse number 45, we read that He opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. As He opened their understanding, He said to them again, "Thus it is written." So it is. I think it's always like that. The Lord is using His word, the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is using the words of the scripture to wake up, to give life to the dead, to give sight to the blind, to give heart to the heartless. But then, once he initiated that new life in Christ, he is giving new understanding, and the open mind is receiving new light, and the open heart, new life. Again he says in the verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. After he gave them that conclusion of his sermon, he said, ye are witnesses of these things. You see, the teaching of the gospel, the Sermon on the Mount, the sermon from the ship, all his teaching as he walked on the dusty roads, through the fields, everything, the whole gospel message makes sense only if we are witnesses. He did not give us any part of the gospel as a rigid law, but as a mean, as a way of witnessing. Living the gospel and witnessing to the name of our Redeemer. Declaring to the world, there is a Redeemer, there is a redemption, there is a way of salvation. To give them the ability to do that, the Lord is giving them a promise. The fulfillment of that promise they are to expect, they are to pray for. And he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But you wait in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued, until you be filled from the power, with the power from on high. And they did exactly that. They went back to Jerusalem. They were in the most dangerous place, where the enemies of the gospel were concentrated in numbers. And they were there, surrounded by the enemies, and yet they gathered together. It was like a hideout place, right there in Jerusalem. And they continued in prayers and supplications. I think among the revelations that the Lord has prepared for those that believe Him, not only in this life, in this pilgrimage, through His word and our experience, but also in eternity. Among those revelations and discoveries, probably would be very interesting to find out in more details what was the experience of that first brotherhood, first congregation, beginning of the New Testament church, surrounded by enemies, and then one day to explode with the power and testimony of the Spirit of Christ.